You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is episode 204. My name is Clark from 5cardguys.com and 5cardguys on Instagram. With me co-hosting as usual is John, who is Trade You at Recess on Instagram. Hyung's away for this episode, but if you heard Friday's show, you know that we have our good friend Will back again hosting with us. All right, off the top, guys. I put up an IG reel on a recent sale of the 2009 Bowman Chrome Red Refractor rookie card of Mike Trout, which is, of course, numbered to 5. And it was a graded a BGS 9.5 with a 10 auto. And I got almost 100 comments on that reel, mostly because it last sold a year and a half ago for $1.08 million. And it just sold again last month for $216,000, which is an 80% drop in less than 2 years. So if you read the comments, on one side, you have comments like, it was a steal for 200K. You know, someone said it's the second most important card of Mike Trout besides the Super Fractor, of course. Mm-hmm. Others said 2024 is his year, so people are expecting big things from Trout. And on the other side, you have people saying that he definitely has talent, but he gets hurt every year. And at the end of the day, someone said he won't be in the same company as Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, and Willie Mays, just because those guys at least had full long careers. So for you guys, I guess the question is, where do you stand in this kind of debate? And if you had 200K, would you have bought this card?
100%. If I had 200K, I would buy this card. I think it's wild that some of these big fishes or these whales weren't in on this card. Like you said, this is his second most important card. How are more people not fighting for it? And, you know, we always say when it comes to auctions, sometimes it's just two guys. It's just two people who are fighting. And I guess there just wasn't a second dog in the battle who wanted to pump up the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for the buyer.
Yeah, great for the buyer. Like, I agree with the first comments that the people were making. It does seem like a steal. Like, I mean, the people buying this are just like, so rich, like, what do they care? Well, if you have that kind of money, it's like,
it could have been Mike Trout who bought it.
Yeah, Mike Trout's probably Mike Trout's like, sick, I got a great deal,
but he feels insulted at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
where was the other guy?
I'm opposite. I think I'm on the train of not being on Mike Trout. And it's nothing to really to do with, maybe it is a bit to do, it is sort of to do with his legacy. It's not a knock on who he is as a player. He's absolutely, you know, one of the most generational dominant baseball players we have ever seen. And especially in this current generation, definitely. But $216,000 is nothing to sniff at. Like, even a big fish, this is big money, right? This is like us, you know, like Clark, you got the Bowman first base, right? That's what does that go for? $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. That's like the three of us attempting to go for that card, right? It's not pocket change. It's still a pretty big penny to spend. And if I'm spending that kind of money, I personally, with all the different options out there, you know, like go chasing and yada yada yada, I just think there's just so much more you can invest in. I personally think whoever got this is, number one, you have to be a big time Trout fan, because I think if you're just an investor, strictly investing, you can't go for that card. As much as it is a grail, there's just too much risk on Trout right now. Like, what if this year he has, you know, Clark, you tell us, because you're the one who owns a card, but if he has another 70, 80 game season this year, it's not looking good for his, you know, the rest of his legacy or a card price trajectory or how people feel about him. It's just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. Like, he has to put up a healthy season this year. and another one the year after for, I think, people to get completely back on the train. Mike Trout, one of the greatest of all time. And he's got to put up big numbers. Like, a lot of kind of has to happen right now for him to get back on this trajectory of being considered one of the greatest, if not some people, you know, even myself, I was thinking, like, we could be watching the greatest player of all time. And maybe we still are. It's just, he's super injury prone, right? So I just think it's just too risky to put money in Trout right now. I'd rather wait. Even if I have to spend more money a year from now, if he does have an awesome season, or 2 years from now, if he has two awesome seasons, I personally would rather wait and be sure before I spend some big money.
Fair points. Yeah, fair points. And you're right. I have a base BGS 9 of the card. And man, it's a biased point of view. I have to believe that he's going to be healthy this year.
For baseball,
Mike, and
for
Trout, come on, please. For sure. Yeah, for MLB and for me. Trout, please stay healthy. And then, you know, like, valid points. Everything you said. There is an element of risk for sure. And... but you know, the red, if it's like a color match, you know, I'm a sucker for color match cards, you know, and I like to see the highs. So 1.08 million, right? I don't think it's going to go up to that much, but if he has a full season, puts up the stats, that's an easy profit within a year. Like, I think that's a lot of money, but I think, if, I know there's a lot of if statements here, but if he has a healthy season, puts a 40 plus home run, and people start to see his potential again, then I think there's definitely a chance that you can make a healthy profit.
Okay, Mike Trout is 32 now. Mm. How many more years do you think he has left?
Yeah, so actually what I was going to say next was kind of related to that, because this year, the team absolutely stinks. Like, the Angels don't have anyone, right?
Rendon? So good Lord.
Yeah, it's horrible. Right? And so even if he puts up a healthy year, the organization has to build around him, or he has to get traded to another team, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think Mike Trout is, you know, I know in media, he'll say the right things. He's like, no, I'm not thinking about other teams, but he's got to be, as he gets older, 33, 34, 35 years old. So I think he's got to win, or at least sniff the postseason in the next 3 years. I think that's going to be also key and crucial to how the value of his high-end cards do. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think. So I think there's a 3-4 year window, at least. Yeah, you know,
up to 36. So, he still looks good, man. You see that bomb in Miami Stadium?
473 feet. Damn. After that, I was like, yes, I'm all back all in.
So, to see it. He's got, like, he's 32. Let's say he plays another 10 years. He's at 370 home runs right now. If he gets 230 bombs, then he's at 600, which is like rarefied air for a baseball player. There's only, there's 9 right now who have over 600 bombs.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can produce like that. Like, I calculated his average home runs per season is about like 28 up until now, like in his career. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if he can get to that 600, it would require a couple of years of just outrageous production.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if he ever got to that, then whoever bought this out of 5 Bowman Chrome is going to be laughing.
If you look at the red refractor, boom, like, it's a beautiful card.
It's beautiful.
And it's a BGS 9.5. Oh, man.
Amazing. It looks great. John, you kind of alluded to it, but quickly before we go to our next segment, I want to throw two or three cards to you. You said, you know, you'd rather look elsewhere to invest at 200K instead of this Mike Trout because of the risk. So for that amount of money, you could have bought a Tom Brady autographed playoff contenders championship ticket, BGS. I feel like it is a BGS 8 auto 10. Would you rather have that card than the Mike Trout red refractor?
Yes.
Will?
No. I hate that card. I hate championship. What are those cards called again? Contender?
Championship ticket. Oh,
I hate those tickets. I'm not
a big fan either.
The auto is hard to see, you know what I mean, on that card as well. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'll stick with the Mike Trout still. All right. 1986 Fleer, Michael Jordan rookie, PSA 10, last sold for $216,000. Exactly the same amount. Oof. Which one would you choose? Trout for me.
Easy Trout. Easy Trout for me too.
Easy Trout too.
I think I have to go with Trout on this one. And it's just because I don't feel too confident about the Jordan 86 Fleer price staying that high in the long run.
Okay. Yeah. And last one, the Pokemon Charizard Holo First Edition PSA 10 sold for $218,000. Oh. Which one would you have?
What's the pop on that?
123.
Oh, yeah. That's first edition.
First edition, yes.
Oh, I'm going Charizard.
Wow, okay.
In honor of Roy.
We're about to get disowned by our listeners, that's for sure. I think, you know, as much as we don't know anything about Pokemon, but everything that Roy has mentioned about the Pokemon industry and all of that stuff and how it's so strong and so much fanfare and like true collectors willing to spend a lot of money, I think, and just strictly, you know, I'm not looking at the bias within sports. It's just strictly investment. I think it has to be at the Charizard. I mean, clearly the Trout has the upper potential, no question. But again, because of the risk, the Charizard, I don't know if there's that much risk in it right now. So, yeah,
Charizard. Well, you also have to think, like, that Charizard card is probably the best Pokemon card of all time. So that's not a Mike Trout Bowman Chrome Red auto. That's a T206 Honus Wagner. That's that's a 52 Mantle. Was it 52? 52.
Yeah.
I always
get
the numbers screwed up.
Yeah.
It's like a PSA 10 of that, you know? Like it's the best card that you could ever get in Pokemon. Well, I think there's Pokemon Illustrator or something.
Outside of the Illustrator,
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Charizard.
Interesting take. All right. I got to go for Mike Trout. I think people will stop listening to this podcast if we all did Charizard sweep. So
save the podcast. For the sake. It's smart.
Yes. All right. That's an interesting debate. Definitely a lot of people had something to say about it, according to the reel that I posted. So, all right, let's move on to hobby headlines. So I feel like there's been a bunch of announcements lately on social media about new.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Sets coming out and new chase cards. And to tell you the truth, some of them are pretty cool, while others, to me at least, are a bit gimmicky, right? So what I did was I compiled a list of some of these cards and sets that were recently announced, and I want to get your thoughts on them, whether you think it's cool or whether you think it's a bit gimmicky, all right? So let's start off with the one I saw most recently, Caitlin Clark. Of course, she's killing it in the NCAA March Madness, and there's a collegiate set that was released, and each box includes one autograph card that's numbered to 50 or less. Also includes an autograph relic numbered to 10 or less, one relic card that's numbered to 50 or less, and then 5 base. So that's the set that you get. What do you guys think of the Caitlin Clark collegiate set?
I don't mind it. It's not as gimmicky as, say, remember like Trevor Lawrence had like this sort of...
That's what I was going to bring up.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a ton of hype behind it. And, you know, I'm sure there were some genuine Trevor Lawrence fans with him coming out of college. But Caitlin Clark, I could see a lot of genuine people that, like, this is for collectors, people that really want to collect just Caitlin Clark specifically. I don't think it's, you know, if you're thinking investment and this thing could grow, and I don't think it's that. So, you know, investors, I don't think this is your product, clearly, but for just strictly Caitlin Clark collectors, yeah, I'm okay with it. It's not my cup of tea, but I mean, if it comes with that many low serial numbered cards, I'd imagine it's pretty expensive, though. That's the only thing.
Sticker autos, though.
Yeah. She needs some on-card autos. Yeah, I don't mind it, yeah. But it's strictly okay. For like a hardcore Caitlin Clark fan. So, it's okay.
Sure. Well.
Yeah, I mean, like WNBA and women's college basketball. Like WNBA has been on the rise. Women's college basketball has been on the rise. There's way more interest in March Madness on the women's side than the men's side for the last couple of years. So hopefully that kind of popularity continues as Caitlin Clark goes to the WNBA. Yep. But I just don't know, like, is there a long-term market there? Hmm. Like, I feel like college is such a special time and everything's, like, amped up times 1,000. Like, every game is just so meaningful and special. Like, maybe once we've seen Caitlin Clark playing in the WNBA for another 12, 15 years, it's like, do people care as much, you know? So I feel like some of that luster fades. So I don't know if there's a long-term value in it.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point for sure. And for me, it's really like those curated sets. I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, right? Me neither.
You know, and usually those kind of depreciate over time too. It always costs more on release. It's sold out. You know, Caitlin Clark's the name in the game right now. I think it's sold for $850. Like, there's no way I was going to get that, right? Yeah. So they're definitely taking advantage of the timing of everything right now. So, and I don't see that appreciating at all. All right. Second one, the Beatles quad cut auto card from Topps Transcendent collection, right? Did you hear about this? That there's a cut auto of the four Beatles in Topps Transcendent for whatever reason. What do you guys think? Cool or a little gimmicky?
It's definitely gimmicky. Is it cool? Yeah, it's okay. If I got that in a break, would I be happy? Of course I would be happy because it's going to make me some serious money. But it's unrelated to baseball, number one. It's unrelated to sports. So I think it's definitely qualifies as gimmicky, but is it cool to get, you know, quad auto of Beatles and, you know, Topps Transcendent used to, I don't know, like Abraham Lincoln cut auto, you know, they do that sort of thing, right? Is it gimmicky? Yes, it's gimmicky, but yeah, it's still pretty cool. I wouldn't be like, oh, I, you know, 1v1 Beatles quad auto versus Mike Trout red. Like we're not going to do that. But yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel I don't know. I just don't understand any baseball set that isn't just the flagship stuff, like Series 1, Series 2 update and Chrome. Like, I don't know. Topps Transcendent, I look at the cards and I'm like, I don't want that. Like, it's it's supposed to be more valuable. It's supposed to be the better card. But when I look at them, I'm like, ugh, I don't like the design. I don't like the look.
Oh, they're ugly, to be honest.
Yeah, they're ugly, but they're supposed to be like the highest. Is it Transcendent? That's the like top market.
Yeah, I think like so. $25,000
a box, like, or something like that. Yeah. I look at National Treasures, like National Treasures baseball even. It's non-licensed. And I think that looks way better than way better. Transcendent.
Yeah.
And that's how you know you have a problem. Like, how is it that this non-licensed card looks significantly better than your top product in the market? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, like John said, if I got the Beatles auto, I'd be pretty happy because that's a really nice hit. But I did take a look at the checklist of the autos. Yeah. And there's like David Stern auto. It's so irrelevant. It's
like, yeah.
Like, I'd be so bummed out if I got one of those other, like, whatever autos.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So, imagine paying five figures and you get the David Stern auto.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't even the worst one in that list. Like, there were people that I just, like, never even heard of. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, again, fair. I think I'm with you guys. If I got it, I'm a Beatles fan. I love their music. But at the same time, if I got the hit, I would try to flip it and sell it for 10, 20, 30K. That's what some people are saying it's going for.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's an easy sell for me, for someone, you know, that might want it more, obviously. I don't mind like the, you know, non-baseball stuff. Like I'm a big Allen and Ginter fan, you know, but at least those boxes are $100. You know what I mean?
Right.
Versus Transcendent being thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. And right. then, you know, you get random auto cards like Will was just mentioning. So as long as they're in low end sets like Allen and Ginter, I don't mind. All right. Speaking of non-baseball players in baseball sets, Victor Wembanyama, his autograph cards are in Topps Dynasty. Seeing Victor Wembanyama, you know, obviously there's no logos because of the licensing deals. And there's one of one that's, I think he draws over his face, and there's an alien and UFO. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big chase that I think Blaise cards hit. What do you guys think of that 1B card?
I think it's expected, I guess, because of the hype. You know, you got his rights for autographs. You might as well take advantage in your products, like some way incorporate it, even though he has nothing to do with baseball. It's probably kind of like the Beatles quad thing. Like, I don't know, you know, Topps got a hold of the cut autos and what are we going to do with this? Oh, let's put it as a product, you know, like take advantage of the talent that you have and incorporate it in some way, shape or form. And they put him out on the baseball field to throw the first pitch or whatever the occasion was. And then they're including all this imagery from that and then having patch autos or whatever. I think it's okay. It's, I think it can get old real quick if it's a continual thing year after year. But this sort of like one time, his first year rookie hype thing, I'm fine with it. Yeah, it makes, you know, the more hits in any product, who isn't, you can't hate on that. Like if you're a Topps Dynasty collector and you open product every year, of course you're going to be happy this year. There's some additional...
right.
You know, unrelated to baseball, but still some sort of hit value that adds to your ROI. So I'm sure anybody would be happy.
So I'm looking at the card. It's a patch auto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one of
what
one?
Is the patch? What is the patch of?
I think he made that first pitch during the Yankees game. I wonder if it's from that.
So is it a patch from there?
Like, I think he wore a Yankees jersey.
But like the patch is like, it says Ebbets Field Flannels Vintage Authentics. So I don't know where it's from. Yeah, I mean, like, it's cool. It's also Topps Dynasty. I don't understand Topps Dynasty. Like, like I don't understand why these sets look this terrible. I wish.
What?
Oh, you like Topps Dynasty?
Yeah, I like
Topps Dynasty. Really? Yeah, I like Topps Dynasty.
Oh, yeah. Oh shoot! I'm on an island here. I mean, with the so Wemby one, I kind of wish he didn't draw all over it. Remember that? Was it Colson Montgomery? Like the aliens? Who was it? The Benny and Montgomery? The Jets one? Oh yeah, Benny Montgomery.
Yeah.
The Benny and the Jets one is like, yeah, like I like inscriptions. I like when you put funny stuff, but it's like when you're just like scribbling all over the whole card, it's just too much. Like. Yeah, it looks like what my son. It looks like my nightmare of my son finding my cards and putting Crayola markers all over them. You know.
Yeah. I still don't know what I think about this card. To tell you the truth, I think you're kind of alluding it. You're alluding to it, John. Like, I think it's becoming a little too much with Wemby. You know, I think they're gonna milk it. And I think there's going to be a point where it's like,
fatigue.
Come on, guys. Like, yeah. We need a Wemby auto in every Topps, you know, set or Bowman set. It's like, come on, guys, right? Let's just wait till, you know, you get your NBA license. And then that's going to be something I'm really looking forward to.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, I'm not a huge fan, but I don't mind it. Again, it's like the Beatles card. Like, if I hit it, I'm going to flip it for a good amount of money because I know it's worth a lot. All right, so that's kind of how I stand. All right, well, it's a good segue into what you're talking about, Will, as well, the whole inscription thing. And I wonder if inscription cards are just being overplayed now. And, you know, the ones I'm thinking specifically are Mike Trout. He has an inscription card in this upcoming Topps Sterling set. And he writes, "Fly, Eagles, fly." Probably a Philadelphia Eagles fan. So that's the inscription. So it's about football, not baseball. And there's one that just was released. I don't know if you saw it on Topps Instagram today. Juan Soto has an inscription card that says, "My first Yankees auto." So what do you think about inscription cards? Those inscription cards in particular and in general, do you think that's just becoming overdone too?
I've mentioned it on the pod before. I really like inscription cards. I want to see in hockey for Future Watch Autos, the first 50 cards, the players usually inscribe, I don't know, the draft date or whatever date there is. I wish that was a little bit more creative there. But there's a fine balance too. Again, like you kind of touched on this sort of like the Wemby fatigue. I think we're at that point now where it's awesome. Everybody likes it, but we got to kind of be careful about the fatigue, right? So if Mike Trout does inscriptions on his one of ones, like, you know, maybe one in every product or not even, maybe just a handful of one of ones. Cool. Mm-hmm. If Juan Soto does my first Yankee, that's going to be one of one, period. My first Yankees card. Awesome. But if it's kind of like the Benny Montgomery, where he had like Benny the Jets, and then the other one he had, I don't know, like a Colorado Rockies like background. And he's just, you know, people are like, you know, Bowman first, they're just like inscribing like 500 cards with all these different images and trying to make it funny. I think it can get kind of played out. So the companies that are issuing the cards, and they're all, you know, clearly we heard the podcast with the Blue Jays prospect, how he was like saying how
Sam Shaw,
the Bowman, the Topps representative, was pretty much like over his shoulder watching the entire time, right? So as long as they're a little bit careful with this, and there's no, they balance that fatigue, I think it should be fine. I'm personally a big fan, but I get, if people have complaints about the fatigue, I understand it.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I love inscription autos. I think they're pretty cool, especially when they're meaningful, like the Soto one.
Yeah.
I mean, the Fly Eagles Fly, like that's all right. Like, that's your personal fandom coming out on a card, so that's kind of cool. But the My First Yankees Auto, that's, I like that. I'm a big fan of cards of players in their first year on a new team. Like I really love that. Like, if I'm a huge, I mean, we talked about Ryu Hyunjin all the time. I'm a huge, you know, we're Korean, we're all Ryu fans. Him being in a Toronto jersey in 2020, that was meaningful to me, almost as meaningful as collecting his 2013 rookie cards. So I love the Soto card. I was actually thinking of buying some Yankees jersey Soto cards, like, or like where he's in a Yankees jersey. I like that he put that auto. But then I wonder, like, what if he wrote that on like multiple cards? what if the inscription's a lie? It's not his first. It's like he did it for a bunch of them and it just like tanks the value of them. But yeah, I like inscriptions. I like when they put a little bit more thought into it. Just not too much thought. Not too much.
I'm with you. I generally like inscriptions, but the reason why I brought this up is like I feel like there's a lot going on now, and some of them are just silly. But you know, just as you guys mentioned, if there's meaning behind it, then I don't mind it at all, right? You know, but if Juan Soto has another inscription that says, "My second Yankees auto, my third Yankees auto," then it's like, come on, let's get Juan Soto. What are you doing? Like, let's, you know, make it more rare, these inscription autos. So that's also what makes it more meaningful, because it's not as common, right? So, but yeah, it is what it is. All right, I got a couple more. Topps Big League Baseball. It's mostly geared for the kids, but they have a subset or an insert card that says "Become a Big Leaguer," and it's for kids 14 and under. And I think if you hit that, you get a card of your own. I think that's how it works. So yeah, let's professionally produce Topps card for any kids 14 and under. If you hit that,
you know that's going to be submitted by a bunch of 40-year-olds.
Of their 14-year-old self. Oh man, that's a good idea actually. If I hit it, I might just do something like that.
That'd like, why hilarious. Is this picture in black and white? This is 1982 World Series. Why is he wearing a shirt that says that?
Hey, my son likes to wear retro things. All right.
Yeah. I think that's cool. Anything that's any of these products that are designed around with kids in mind, I'm for it. Yeah, 100%. To a older collector, is it, you know, could you say it's gimmicky? Sure, but how could you hate on a product that's specifically designed for kids? I'm for it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I gotta say, I love Big League. I love that release. I am so impressed with the cards. Like I looked at the inserts and all the different ideas that they have, and they're all really, really nice. And I love that it's geared to kids for them to enjoy. I love this idea of becoming a big leaguer. I love the social media follow back one.
I love that too.
Yeah, I love this whole set. I have no problem with anything that Big League's putting out there. I think they can do no wrong. Yeah, I won't. I probably won't buy a set like a hobby box. I kind of want to. I probably won't, but I totally support everything that Topps is doing with that Big League set. I love it.
Yeah, no, good points. Like honestly, I went to Dave and Adams last year with my son, and you know, there's a bunch of blasters, right? And one of them was the Big League, and you know, I got the Bowman paper because I was like chasing. And I told my son, you could pick any other one, like Tops, thing, you know, whatever might be cool for him. And he chose a Big League. I'm like, oh, are you sure you want to choose a Big League blaster? You know? He's like, yeah, like, you know, it's obviously the marketing is for him. Like, it's very colorful and it looks funny, you know? And so I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. It's like 30 bucks, right? So, the funny thing was he actually pulled an auto. So he hit an auto. So he was excited about that. But you're totally right. Like, kids love it. So I don't mind this either because it is geared for the younger generation. So it's kind of goes with it, right? So
yeah, it also replaced opening day, like the opening day release. Oh, and right. Opening day release is, it's nothing. It's just the same card.
Right.
So I don't understand why opening day was a thing. The only thing about opening day that I liked was they had mascot cards. Mm-hmm. Right. I feel like those mascot cards have probably been moved to some other set, like maybe update, or maybe it's in Big League. I don't know. I haven't seen the full checklist.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah.
So I'm glad. I'm glad about Big League. Yeah.
I'm sold on Big League now. Yeah. All right. Last one. Did you see there's Disney patch autograph cards? So
I've seen the autos.
They're autographed by, and it says, you know, Mickey, Pluto. And then the funny thing for me is like a patch of, I don't even know what the patch is of their costume, but
Disney World. The sweaty costumes a 15-year-old wore at Disney World?
Must be. Yeah. What do you think?
I'm trying to find a patch auto card. I can't find one.
Yeah, I'll show you.
If you find one, add it to the group chat. I mean, as someone who just got back from Disney World, I took my 5-year-old daughter and my 2.5-year-old son. I went with a few family friends. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you think so?
Honestly, as someone who just went to Disney and came back, and like my wife, I think my wife had the greatest time out of all of us. Like, it's such a magical place. It's so sweet and wonderful. And, like, everything there is designed to just make you happy. Mm. And so when I see these cards, these patch auto cards, it makes me happy. It reminds me of when I was a 9-year-old, my dad took me to Disney. And I got autographs on, like, I got autographs on playing cards because my dad bought me like this jumbo sized playing cards. And then even for my daughter, you know, we went around to a couple different places and she was getting all the autographs in her little autograph notebook. She got all of like Mickey, Minnie, you know, we were at this one dining place where they all come around, all the characters. Awesome. We went to go meet with some of the princesses, and it was like the highlight of her trip. Like, she still talks about just how awesome it was getting to meet them, and she looks at her autograph book with so much like happiness and joy. And nice. So I get it. Like, it makes no sense, right? Like, Pluto has no business signing an autograph. And yeah. that's just the costume. There's 1,000 people who wear that costume, right? Like, it's not the real Pluto, but I get it. Yeah. I like it. I'm a fan.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, it's great to hear you. I took my kids to Disney, side note, a couple of years ago. It was during COVID, and it was so overrated. And I think it's because my kids, you weren't allowed to be near like any of the people in costume. They would be like on a balcony, like 100 meters away. Like, you couldn't be close to them. So they didn't get the, you know, I heard like you can collect pins and you go around to all the characters and, you know, autographs or pins. So they didn't get that. But anyways, back to the topic. You know, as a sports car collector, first and foremost, when you see this stuff, your immediate thought is, oh my gosh, so gimmicky. You know, like we're saying, where does that patch even come from? Who the heck is autographing Pluto? How is that even cool? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're sports car collectors. Like, this is Disney. This stuff is not for us. You know, as a sports car collector, we do like, I'm sure we'd have some interest in Disney, maybe, maybe not. But we would prefer maybe like Mickey Mouse Gold Refractor out of 50, Mickey Mouse Super Fractor. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be like, oh, that's what I like. But I think this question is for Disney fans. Like, as either a kid or a heart, you know, that's the one thing I noticed when you go to Disney World. It was like 70% grown adults with no kids. What?
right.
What is going on here? So there's clearly a giant segment of grown adult,
for
hardcore
sure.
Disney fans. And if they're the ones collecting this and they think this is cool, if they say it's gimmicky, then it's gimmicky. But if they say this is cool, then we can't, as sports car collectors, I don't think we can say anything about it. We're like, yeah, okay. If Disney fans say it's cool, then it's cool.
Yeah. Also valid. It's pretty gimmicky.
Yeah, it is.
I don't get it, but... And I know a couple of those grown adult Disney fans. Maybe I should show it to them to see if they like it. But yeah. And if you read the Twitter or the tweet that showed these cards, it says the manufacturer is calling them DPSs, doll patch signatures, and it's comparing them to RPAs, rookie patch autos. So DPS, doll patch signatures, and... yeah, I don't know. The auto looks like a facsimile too, so I'm not sure. I'm totally into it. And you know, it's kind of disturbing actually. I'm seeing the Sully patch and the Pluto patch. If you let your creative mind go, like that's coming off like this character's skin, right? Like, it's not just a costume. It's kind of disturbing. It's a little disturbing if I'm a kid. Like, why did they rip off the skin and put it in the... I'm just saying, it's a little weird.
That's true.
All right. I thought we end off in a funny note there with the Disney patch autos. But to each their own. All right. Let's move on to our next segment. It's a new one, and we call it To Buy or Not to Buy. And this is actually John's idea. He kind of mentioned it in our chat, and I thought it was a pretty cool idea. So, John, do you actually want to explain this segment for us? And then we'll get right into it.
Right. I got the idea from the last episode, Clark, when you guys, when we had the baseball guests on, Chris Beggs and Jason Willow, and you were doing the hot take segment, but it was sounding like your hot takes, like as in like, this is what I believe in. Do you think it's a hot take? And it gave me the idea of, us talking about a car that we may want to buy, and you have to either talk me off the cliff, or you tell me to jump and go buy it.
I like it. So why'd you start it off? Do you have one?
I do have one. Yes. So you know how the way my collecting works. I have like this, my seed money, and I have been doing my best to stay within the seed money. Now, obviously, because of the way sports cards have been going, that seed money has shrunken quite considerably. So my options are very limited on what I can go for. But okay. I do want to further sell some of my cards to get into one big card. And obviously Sidney Crosby was one of them. But I go back and forth. I think I want a big Crosby card. I want a big Kobe card. I want a big Tom Brady card at some point. So we're going to go Tom Brady. And my all-time favorite Tom Brady rookie card is the 2000, the 2000 SP. Is that SP Authentic? Yep. The one where he's in the warm-up jersey.
Yeah.
Number to 1250. And that card previously was completely unattainable. I don't even recall the older prices, but we're like easily five-figure cards. And the BGS 9 now stands at somewhere around 6,500-ish, 6,700-ish. It's still very expensive, but it's like somewhat attainable. So it's a card that's kind of piqued my interest. So, and I do want to get into, so I have a bunch of cards that are kind of worth, you know, $1,000, $2,000. In an ideal scenario, I would want to lump four or five of them and get into a $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 card. So the Brady 2000 SP Authentic is one of the ones I'm looking at. BGS 9.
What grade
did
you say again?
BGS 9. BGS 9, about $6,700.
Are you going to crack it?
The thing I like about BGS 9 is, especially on rare cards, I like to pick and choose which of the grades is good. So for me, especially on that Tom Brady card, it's white. So I don't care about surface. Edges, I don't care about. Like, I want a BGS 9 with, like, really good corners. And, like, you know, it doesn't really have borders, so who cares if it's, like, off-centered. So, but they're hard to find. Almost every BGS 9 I see, it's, like, you know, 9 edges, 9.5, you know, 9.5 centering, and then it's, like, 8 corners. I'm like, ooh. Which, yeah, but anyways.
Yeah. I'll go first. I say do it.
Yes.
I feel like this is just us, like,
it's gonna be pumping each other. We just call it. Yeah, like, just do it. That's the new title of the segment is just do it.
Yeah. We're all enablers. Like, this is not how Alcoholics Anonymous works. This is not how those things work.
Just one sip. It's fine.
The exact opposite. Yeah, I'm 100%. Just do it.
This segment's not turning out the way I originally thought. Yeah, me either. Okay, I'm gonna say a couple more things. I'm just looking at the chart. Yeah, 6,800 was the last sale, March 30th. So not that long ago. 1250, BGS 9. So pop count's not as relevant, right? But if you look at the peak, it's sold for, you're saying you didn't know how much, it was $27,610.
Wow.
In February of 2021, right? And I think I like it because it's numbered, for one, and it is one of the more recognizable Brady cards. And for me, I equate it to my Luka Doncic purchase, the blue contenders optic.
Right.
Like, I can't get the national treasures. I can't get, like, the top high-end tier of, you know, Luka's rookie cards. But there are, like, a lot of these nice middle to high end, you know, that I would love to have. And I kind of equate this Tom Brady in that sense. You know, we talked about the championship ticket off the top of the segment that's going for 200,000 plus. Probably we won't ever be able to buy that card. But if you wanted a nice Tom Brady rookie card, and this is the one, I know for you, John, this is something that's been on your watch list for a while. And I think it's one of those purchases that you'll just be happy to have, and you kind of almost forget about the value just because you're planning to hold it for longer term anyways, right? So, yeah, just do it.
Oh, boy.
Is the jump from BGS 9 to, like, a PSA 9 or a PSA 10 or a BGS 9.5, like, so ridiculous? Like, the
pretty
price?
Big.
Good point. Yeah. So BGS 9.5 last sold for $12,700 last week.
Uh-huh.
And the PSA 10 is going for $38,400.
So
last sold December. Yeah.
So
I think the PSA 9 is like 11 grand or something like that.
11,500, yep.
So I take back my just buy it. Because okay. My concern would be that you would have it and you would love it. And then you'd be like, but I want it gem mint. And then you're just going to want, like upgrade it.
Right.
That's so true. I mean, like, I would assume that the value holds. So you're going to, like, at some point you can try and flip the BGS9 plus cash or plus other cards into the BGS9-5. But I just feel like I've noticed in my buying trend over the last, like, let's call it a year of the market turning down, my eyes have gotten way bigger for, like, what is the best card, right? And, or, like, what's the best card that I could get? Rather than something that's like, oh, this would be really good. But it says, so it's like, what's the best card I can get? So, I wonder if you're going to get it. Because I want you to get it. So, I change back. Just do it.
But no, that's a good point. This, though, but this is the point of this segment, right?
Yeah. Give your reasons. I feel like you're gonna be so happy, and then you're going to be like, what's next?
You know what? Well, that's a really good point, because I kind of feel that way about my Mike Trout 2009 Bowman McGraw. I'm like, damn, I wish I got... Because, you know, it's gone down since then. I'm like, if I added $1,000, I could have easily got the 9.5 at this point. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
So that's a really good point. I still think you should do it.
But, yeah, you should 100% do it.
And the only difference with Mike Trout is a base. So it's not even numbered, right? So that's also a factor to it.
Right.
Whereas this Tom Brady, it is numbered. So, all right. I don't know how this segment ends in terms of, like, who's when we go to the next turn. Do you say you're going to buy it or not? Or are you going to think about it? And then it's binding.
You have to enter binding. Your credit card details. You got to buy it? You have to enter your credit card details right now.
All right. Something to think about. Will, do you got one?
I got one.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of don't want to talk about it. Yeah, it's just buy it. Right? This one has a little, like, a thing to it. So, like I was talking about earlier, Ryu, Blue Jays jersey, I'm a big fan. I like collecting rainbows, full sets, all that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to collect a few different Ryu rainbows. But one of the things that's kind of just just naturally happened as I was collecting is I got 2020 Topps Chrome Sapphire Red out of 5 Ryu, 2021 Topps Chrome Sapphire out of 5 Red, 2022, and then there's a 2023, and it popped up a couple months ago. All the other Reds I've been able to get for, like, somewhere between $40 to $50, because they're not really valuable cards. So currently, there's a Red out of 5 that would complete my 4-year set of Topps Chrome Sapphire Reds. But the guy posted it for $90. And I offered him, like, $50 and explaining, like, hey, this is the going rate for Topps Chrome Sapphire Reds. I should know because I have them. And the lowest he's gone is $80.
Okay.
So, should I buy it at $80 and complete my set? Or do I wait for 4 of the other 5 Reds to show up and potentially get them at $50? And, like, what if this guy's a podcast listener and he's like, oh, that's the guy who's trying to get my Sapphire Red. I know he'll buy it at 90.
Yeah. Is this a new release? Is it pretty recent?
No, it's from last year's release.
Oh, so it's been pretty old now.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can imagine it's hard for it to show up. Well, it was actually in Topps Chrome Update Sapphire. So it was, like, the last release of the year for 2023. Yeah. So within the last 6 months, let's say.
Right.
It's easier for me. I don't know if, John, if you want to go first.
Sure. I'm trying to wear my small fish hat. Right. and not be like, hey, come on, Will, like open the purse strings a little bit. It's $30.
You cheapo.
Yeah. But you know what? Like there's a handful of PC purchases and even some big cards. And more recently, the Chloe Kim that I've mentioned a couple of times, right, where I outweighed the owner a while to get it really, really down. So like with the Chloe, it came, I think it was actually like brokered by Great Curator at some point. That's when I first saw it. I actually messaged Great Curator because he had it brokered like at one of his show. And I was like, how much does the owner want for that thing? And he mentioned like $3,000 or something massive. I was like, holy, wow. No. Like I just, it was sort of piece for fun for a PC. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And then like a year or like 6 months later, showed up on eBay and it's listed for $3,000. So I followed it. And I probably followed it for a year and a half at least. And it was still up. And then finally, I'm like, you know what? I never thought to make a move. I'm like, I'm going to make a move on it. And the guy had his Instagram handle listed on his eBay listing. So I Instagrammed him privately and I said, hey, if we do a private deal outside, you know, you don't have to pay commissions. Like, let's work on a real deal. And he's had it, mind you, he's had it listed for a long time. Yeah. Similar, exact same similar scenario to Will, you were saying that DeMar DeRozan Bowman, that offer you made. I think when if you have confidence that this is, you know, like if you're the only buyer, you know, you don't see anybody else kind of really jumping on this. There is a player where you can just wait out the owner, and at some point they're going to realize, okay, well, I have it listed for 90. It's been like 4 months, and you know, nothing's moved on it. So, yeah. So then I think that at that point you could make a move. But on the flip side, and I think this is probably where Clark is going to go. It's out of five. It's out of five. You know, Sapphire hasn't been as popular in the past. I probably not as many people ripping it. You just never know when you're ever going to see this card again. So just open up the purse strings a little bit and just pay up. So
is that what you were going to say,
Clark? No, 100%. I was going to say that. So yeah. John,
so yeah. I'm making a bit of a point about not jumping off the cliff, but in the end, I'm going to flip and I'm going to just say, just do it, man. Just do it. I don't know. I think it's just such a rare card that, I don't know.
I think
if you're going to regret this and you really want to complete this thing.
Right. Exactly.
There's only four other chances and you don't know if those four are going to sit in boxes for the next 10 years, right?
It'll be different if it was $5,000 versus, you know, 50 to 90, you know. And then, you know, completing a set, that's an amazing feeling. Yeah, I don't know.
But I think there's also satisfaction.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Action of completing a set at the price you want it, right?
Exactly.
It's like finding that sale on a pair of sneakers or something like that.
That's true.
All right. So I think the way to conclude it is I have to just send the offer or buy it. So I'm going to send an offer right now.
$60?
$70.
$70. In the middle, $70.
Yeah.
That'll work. I think that's going to work. That's going to work.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I press send. I did it, guys. I did it.
We should go back to John. John, make an offer. $6,500. Come on, man. We can't go on until you send that offer.
Oh, man. No, I my plan is to trade a bunch of cards to attempt to get it. I'll be divorced by next week if I made a purchase on eBay.
This segment's turning out okay. All right, I'll finish it off. This is actually on my watch list right now. I think the auction's going to end in 2 or 3 days. Over 100 people watching it. the Juan Soto 2018 Topps Heritage Real One Auto Red Ink.
Oh.
Numbered to 69. And it's a PSA 9 though, okay? So this is what's kind of getting me. It's a PSA 9. It's kind of like what you're saying, Will, about BGS 9. Will I want the PSA 10? It's currently sitting at about $1,450, right? And the last sale, according to Car Ladder, was $3,140, but that was July 2023. So right. I feel like it's come down. PSA 10 last sold July of 2023 as well for $4,000, right? Mm. So
I saw one. I think I saw one recently on like the Bowman High Rollers group on Facebook. But oh, I think it was like a BGS 9 or something like that. It was surprisingly affordable. I don't remember the number. I just remember being pretty surprised at the number. I think it was like under 2000, like 1750 or something like that.
What was it, a while ago or recent?
Fairly recent. I want to say not more than a couple of months ago.
Okay. So I don't know if it's, I'm going to be way off on the actual dollar amount it sells for,
right.
But if it was close to 2000, do you think that's, you know, the number I should pull the trigger on?
What was the last sale?
3,140, but that was July of last year.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Soto is so amazing. Like, he is so amazing. And, like, he did you read that article? Like, he wants a bag and a half.
When after the season?
After the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And
Yankees will give it to him.
The Yankees will 100% give it to him. For and sure. He's going to go down as, like, the savior of the Yankees.
Wow.
Yeah. Confidence. He's still only like 17 years old. It's so ridiculous.
He just grew into that Bowman first helmet.
Yeah, I think he's like 25 now or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, he's still young. Him and Acuna and Vladdy are still, and Bo are still so young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely buy it.
His rookie year, and you know, Clark, you know me, I'm more a fan of the major league than the Bowman first. Mm-hmm. His major league rookie year 2018. I don't think, because his Topps Chrome autograph stuff is all sticker, right? Like the extractor, the refractor. I think, I mean, they're very limited, but they're sticker.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what other products does he have, like on card rookie autos from his major league rookie year. Like, real one could be one of the limited ones. And then now we're talking red ink, which is becoming sort of an iconic parallel in itself. I don't know, man. We're all Juan Soto fans. I think if it's like in the 2000 range, PSA 9 is nice. I'm okay with that too. Yeah. And I think Juan Soto, his, for who he is, his price is pretty depressed. I mean, we did see a pretty decent, not decent, I don't know, 10, 20% bump because of the Yankee move. But, you know, he's off. You guys talked about it in the baseball, last week's baseball-centric pod. Juan Soto is, he starts off slow every year. And this year, he's not really starting off slow. He's looking pretty good, man.
Well. Yeah.
You know? So this could be, you know, I don't want to hype it up too much, but it could be a big year for Juan Soto.
Damn. How about 2,500? Like, I feel like I'm like, shoot.
Now it comes down to the price. What is it sitting at? 17?
14.
14.
With 3 days left.
Oh, 3 days left. Oh, boy.
And it's 122 people watching.
Holy cow.
Yeah, but those, like, 115 of those are scrubs, like me.
Right.
Like, I'm just watching it. I'll watch lots of nice cards go.
Okay, yeah, you guys talking me into it. Around 2000, I'm in. I'll bid the 2000. When does this air? Okay, it airs after the auction.
That's the right move. Yeah, I was going to say, we might have to just cut out all of this.
What was the last sale? PSA 9 or BGS 9.5?
PSA 9 was $31.40 July of last year. So not like July 2023.
So not too long ago.
But still, like BGS 9.5 sold for, oh man, $5,000.
Holy.
March of this year.
We could be way off.
Yeah, we could be way off.
Could be like
this might be monster. This might be a moot point.
Yeah, like, yeah. I say like
it's so far over 3K.
I say
yeah,
under 2,300. That's a steal.
23.
Yeah.
All right.
I think maybe 2,250 or 2,300 is the number, but okay. I could see it going for 27 upwards. I feel like it's It's definitely gonna be under 3,000. I think. But who knows? Yankees. July was pre Yankees, right?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more than 3K.
Yeah.
Because it's so limited. Like, I was looking at the sales. Like, it comes up once every.
Yeah, that's true.
Four or five
months. This is PSA 9. This isn't a. This is not a BGS 9. PSA 9 is pretty strong.
Damn. BGS 9.5 in September of 2023 sold for $28.85.
Yeah, that was the
damn.
One.
Damn. Whoa, see? I don't know. 20. Shoot.
All right, we'll see.
Yep.
Let me put my max bid in. No, I'm just kidding.
That's how this gets resolved. You have to show us the evidence. Yeah.
We can only do this segment every once a year. Just kidding. It's an expensive segment.
Yeah, yeah. Or we go down to Will's level. So I'm thinking of this card. It's listed for $10, but I don't know.
Did you see the post on Instagram with Malachi Flynn? Like his card was like $3 and then it just sold for like $100 or something because he dropped a 50 piece.
That's insane. You never know. All right. We'll do this. I want to do this with Hyung as well. See what he comes up with. Mm. So that was fun. All right, let's end off this episode with our regular weekly segment we call Pick One. All right, so Hyung usually starts things off, but John, do you want to start things off for us today?
Yeah, let's do it. So we're going to go pick one is choose a category that you think will yield the best results going forward in this sort of, some people call it Junk Wax 2.0 era, Fanatics takeover era. These two segments or categories have been kind of, there's been a spotlight on them in the last 18, 24 months, and a lot of things have cooled down for good reason. So we're going to go modern GOATs investment-wise moving forward. So we're talking like Brady, Kobe, Jordan, Gretzky, et cetera, versus vintage baseball. Mantle, Ruth, Ted Williams, Jackie Robinson, et cetera, et cetera. Better investment going forward in this new Fanatics era. Modern GOATs or vintage baseball?
That's a good one. Well, you got one? You got
Jared. Yeah, I'm gonna go modern GOATs. The reason why is I think at a certain point, vintage kind of becomes meaningless because there's no evidence. There's no documentation of like what these players did. So like, you know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, it's like people will be like, oh yeah, Mickey Mantle was the greatest. But it's like, what photo evidence or video evidence do we have? Right? Versus Tom Brady. We can all watch Tom Brady highlights just by going on YouTube and we could, you know, you see full games and the amount of conversation and rhetoric that's going to be on these like sports center things where they talk about how Brady's the GOAT and whatever. You know, we don't have these YouTube videos of, you know, some 1960s broadcaster talking about how great so-and-so is and was and all that stuff. So I'm going to go with modern GOATs.
Yeah. The only counter argument to that, I think, is none of us saw Mickey Mantle play. I don't think none of us have seen a game of Mickey Mantle, but we still hold Mickey Mantle in high esteem within the hobby, right?
Yeah,
so there are some that just kind of transcends generations in terms of cards in the hobby, Mickey Mantle being one of them, Babe Ruth being one of them, like the ones you mentioned, you know, in the in our 1v1 here. That being said, I think there's only a few of those players, and even within those players, there's only a few of those cards of those players that will just yield a steady investment. Like, it'll be the cream of the crop, you know? Like, artwork that just doesn't make sense in terms of the value. It's like, yeah, someone's willing to pay millions of dollars for it. Whereas, you know, like, we're already priced out of that. Like, we don't have the funds to buy those big vintage cards, right? So, whereas, you know, the current modern GOATs, there are, yeah, you can get into it, and you could, I think you could, there's, you could definitely make a profit out of some of these modern GOATs. You know, even the one you're talking about before, the SP Authentic Tom Brady, you could get into it, and I'm sure if you hold on to it long enough, that'll yield a steady profit, you know? And then you could buy a Kobe and a Jordan, like those mid-ends. You just got to know which ones to buy, like the more rare ones, whether it's serial numbered or whether you know that the pop count's low on certain grades of these cards. I think there's a play there, more of a play with the modern GOATs to, you know, build a portfolio that will yield a decent profit. Unless you're a high, super high end collector like Shine right now, you know, we don't really have a much of a play in the vintage game, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm going with modern as well.
Ooh, man, I think there's certainly argument, you know, we could be splitting hairs here, right? Because, you know, both modern GOATs and vintage baseball, for the most part, it ebbs and flows with what just happens in sports cards in general, right? the entire segment or the entire industry. A lot of people can make the argument that modern GOATs have a little more volatility potential because, sure. like Will was mentioning, we discuss Brady, et cetera, et cetera. But on the vintage side, you know, like for example, with modern GOATs, like they're still like beatable as the GOATs, as much as I didn't think that was possible. Like I never thought growing up being a huge Gretzky fan, I never thought anybody would break the goal scoring record, not even get close. And it's about to be broken. I like not even 12 months ago, I thought nobody would touch Tom Brady. And Mahomes just won another Super Bowl. And now it's like, ooh, maybe, you know. So like these GOATs aren't necessarily untouchable in where they stand in sports lore, right? Whereas vintage baseball and vintage cards, it's kind of like Mona Lisa, Van Gogh. Like if you're an art collector, you know what those are. It's going to be, even if it's not your cup of tea, but it's still like a holy grail to anybody that comes into that space, right? So I feel like vintage will kind of be that going forward, more so than, you know, you get it because you like it. It's more becoming, like you said, like art pieces, you know, historic artifacts, somewhere in that space. So I think we're splitting hairs here. And I think it does make me sound like I'm going for vintage baseball. I'm just trying to make points on both ends. Yeah. But because we're splitting hairs, for me, 51-49, I got to go as a, like, you know, put my money where my mouth is. As a collector, I'm going to enjoy having Tom Brady and having Kobe as in my personal collection. Like, I can't lie about that, right? I'm not going to be going out and getting Babe Ruth or anything. So I have to pick Brady and modern GOATs because that's what I'm actually chasing. So,
yeah, good points made, but... Modern sweep. You know, before Will, you go on, I was listening to, or I was going through my social media feed, and Jeff Passan, you know, of Yahoo, I think Yahoo Sports, he was mentioning, like, if Babe Ruth played in today's game, he would suck. Like, he would not even be triple A, you know? Back then, he's playing against guys that have full-time jobs and, you know, just was playing, you know, pitching against Babe Ruth. But anyway, it's funny.
I think I saw that, but I feel like that argument makes no sense.
Yeah, it's such a terrible argument.
Yeah, because it all depends on in your era, if you were generational. Yes. You're generational, man. Like every player in the league right now could probably dust Wayne Gretzky. But in his era, he was doing things that nobody else was doing. Bobby Orr was doing things no defenseman was ever doing in his hockey era. So
Exact same argument JJ Redick made in another podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you have to compare them within their own era or generation.
For sure.
So, anyway. All right. Well.
All right. My pick one. March premiere auction for PWCC. It just passed. And we saw the sales of a 1986 Fleer Jordan PSA 10. And a 1996 Topps Chrome Kobe Refractor PSA 10, both of them sold for $168,000. The Jordan PSA 10 is pop 323. Kobe Refractor PSA 10 pop is 63. Jordan has had 28 sales since January 2023. And the average of those 28 sales is 186,000. Kobe's had 6 sales of that same his refractor since January 2023, averaging $130,000. And then I think Clark mentioned it a little earlier. There was another auction through Heritage that sold the day after the PWCC auction ended, and the Jordan in that auction sold for $210,000. So I think, you know, card to card, there's a little bit of value difference. But the March PWCC auction, premier auction, had both of them selling for $168. So which one are you picking?
Ooh. I kind of touched on how I feel about the Jordan Fleer earlier in this podcast. So for me, it's pretty easy. It's the Kobe Refractor. And sometimes I like to dream a lot. You know, if you notice, some of my 1v1s are very hypothetical. It's things that we can't obtain. And I always think to myself, you know, if I had $1 million and I bought 5 of my absolute holy grail monster cards, the Kobe Refractor PSA 10 is in that list of 5 cards that I would obtain in the $200,000 mark. And the Jordan PSA 10, as much as I love it and it's iconic and it's something I wanted as a kid, it's not on that list. And I think, you know, the paper card, pop, all that stuff kind of attributes to that. But the Kobe Refractor is, I mean, any basketball fan, collector, that's a huge, huge card. Yeah, so one thing I'll say about the Jordan, you know, the pop count is 323, and I think a lot of people might think, oh, that's, you know, it's a pretty big pop for such a grail card as $180,000 or whatever it goes for. But you know what? I mean, we've seen some Instagram accounts. I think there's a lot of big fish out there that are holding, you know, 20 right. copies of the Jordan, 50 copies of the Jordan, maybe 100. So there's probably not as much in circulation than you would think. So I would, you know, it's not like there are 300 out there really, because there's some people are holding these cards. So on the Jordan side, it's probably a lower pop, you know, obtainable pop than you actually think.
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Kobe just because of the scarcity. Speaking of pop count, I think at a certain point, PSA is just keeping that pop count artificially low.
Right.
And there's a bunch of, I see on social media, there's still a lot of 1986 Fleer Michael Jordans being submitted to PSA. And so it just tells me that there's still, it's been overprinted and the demand is what's keeping it up, you know, but I'm just scared to death that one day it's just going to plummet in terms of the actual value, because they're going to see, wow, there's a lot of supply out there. Maybe the PSA 10 pop count stays what it is, but I think it's artificial anyway. So just for the scarcity, you know, of the Kobe Bryant's Topps Chrome Refractor, which is a beautiful card as well, more pleasing to look at, in my opinion, I'm going to go with Kobe as well.
Yeah, it's a Kobe sweep. You know, I'm always about the look of the card. And, like, yeah, obviously Jordan is the GOAT, but that card does nothing for me.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
Yeah,
it just doesn't feel special. Like, I know it is special, but I don't know. I feel like I would get that if I ever got that card. I'd hold it for like 5 minutes, be so happy, and then like we're talking the earlier segment, I'd just be like, all right, what's next? Like, right. How do I move on from this one? Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's a good one too. We'll finish off with my pick one. And on one side, I have the 2023-24 Prism Victor Wembanyama, his rookie card, but a Ruby Wave parallel, PSA 10. All right. So this is the Black Curtain card, but it's a Ruby Wave parallel. I don't think it's numbered. And then on the other side, I guess the modern iconic card of Luka Doncic's his Silver Prism 2018 rookie card, which I used to have, but I sold. It's going for $1,200 for both of them, $1,200. Oh. And I was looking, I was curious to see how much the Silver Prism was because I stopped watching it. But yeah, it's down to $1,200. I actually sold it for around that much. So it looks like it's stable at $1,200 now at this point with a pop count of $2,200 or so for Luka. Wow. Yeah. And Ruby, I don't know what the Ruby Wave pop count is, but definitely lower. Which one would you want?
Oh. I hate this question. These are
I mean, both it's cards. Easy for, it's
both
easy
cards for I me. Do not want. I think we've been. I'll go first. I think we've been sharing how we're starting to feel about Silver Prism, what was once the gold standard Hobby Logic. I think that's going to start slipping away. So I'm a little bit concerned with that. And even for me, I'm not, it doesn't appeal to me anymore. Like it's just, if I'm going to get a Luka card and spend $1,200, I'd rather, you know, like what you did, Clark, I'd rather up the price to $2,500 and go for something bigger, meaningful, numbered, autograph, whatever. And on the other hand, you got like the hype year Victor Wembanyama. This is not something I would ever pick. And it's Ruby Wave. Oh. It's like, what do I hate less? I am going to, I cannot believe you're making me do this, Clark. I'm going to pick the hype of Victor Wembanyama.
Wow. Okay.
And the reason why, it's kind of a coin flip, but the reason why for me, Victor wins it, I actually personally on a collector level, I love Luka way more. Like I actually, PC, I like to collect Luka. So it would seemingly be easier. And the Ruby Wave on Victor's end is not special at all. It's just, it's whatever. And I'm not even confident about the price, but the reason I'm going with the Victor is he doesn't have autographs in his rookie year. So the Prism, as we move forward, the Prism rookie year is going to be the, like, that's it. There's like no other real big options. Like Luka's got many options. But Victor's really for like his true rookie year. He's not going to have many options and it's going to be the Prism. So as much as I don't even like the Ruby Wave, for that reason, I'm going to go with the Victor. Wemby.
Okay.
That's a really good point. Really strong point there. I mean, I said earlier while it was presented that this is easy for me. It's still easy for me. It's Wemby. I mean, I could care less about the red Ruby Wave. And I also don't care about Prism, Silver Prism. Like, both are just whatever. But to me, Wemby, like, I don't know. I get it. Luka's great. Like, statistically, he looks great. But I just don't like watching Luka play. I don't know why. Like,
what?
I just don't enjoy Luka at all.
But, wow. But you've always traditionally been a big man fan, though, right?
Yeah, no, but like I would prefer, like my preferred playing position is a guard, but like I grew up big. So in grade 9, like I was like the biggest, I was short, but I was big. So my coach was like, hey, Will, you're the center. Cause I was the, that's like the heaviest guy on our squad. So like I grew up loving like big men and I still do love big men, but when I went to university and started playing a lot more basketball, like pickup stuff, I would transition more to guards because there was like actual 6'4", 6'5" monsters in the paint that I didn't want to play against. So I really value like ball handling and all this stuff, but watching Luka play, I hate it so much. I find him I find him and Trae Young to just be so not fun to watch. I don't know why. Okay. I just don't enjoy
him. You're crazy, man.
So for that reason, I pick Wemby. Also because Wemby has like ridiculous stats. Like he may be the first person that gets a quintuple double. Like
right.
Points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals.
Yeah.
Like
possible.
He might do it. He might do it. The other day he had just like 8 blocks. Like
anyone yeah, he has to put his hand up and he's
yeah.
Like balls are just running into his head.
Yeah. So I think Wemby later on, when their careers are settled, Wemby is the better player. Wemby's the more impactful player.
Okay.
Wemby has more accolades. So for that reason, I pick Wemby. Send all your hate email to Clark@5card.
You're getting a lot of hate mail from that for that Michael Jordan Fleer take, and now you just piled that on with Luka hate. Oh man.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's all good. Yeah, you made some really good points, John, with the Wemby being his rookie without the auto. Like I didn't consider that. But I gotta go with Luka.
Ooh.
I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm looking at all these, you know, I have a daily auctions page on 5 Card Guys, right? And some of the numbered parallel cards of Wemby, the Prism rookie, are going for tens of thousands, like $14,000, $13,000. Like, it's incredible.
Insane money, yeah.
Yeah, and like, the non-numbered, you know, there's a bunch of parallels, like the Ruby Wave. I think those are going to get hit at some point. Like, I think those are also inflated. It's like, you know, everything's kind of inflated now, but those cards, non-numbered, the less popular parallels are going to be the ones that come down fastest first. So from investment side, I think just Luka, you're not going to see a huge upside anytime soon. It looks like it's stabilizing at about $1,000 anyway. But I think long-term, that card is just going to be, it's like I said, it's kind of the modern iconic card. And people are going to like, you know, maybe out of nostalgia in 10 years, they're like, oh yeah, this was a card that, you know, the pose that everyone remembers on Luka's most popular base rookie card or prism rookie card. I think people might want to grab one of those again. And I think the 2200 PSA 10 is going to be stable, like in terms of the pop count, right? No one's going to rip boxes of it because it's so expensive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As long as the fabled Black Prism 101 is still out there, you know, the boxes, you're not going to see breakers rip it like every day or something like that. So I think the pop count's kind of secure at around 2200, and in the future I believe that the Silver Prism of the Luka Doncic is going to be, this is just like a good PC card for a lot of Luka fans. So
not for me though.
But not for Will.
Not for me. Hey, can I say something? I know you're going to wrap up, but I want to say something. Last week's episode with the Oppo guys, that was amazing.
So good.
Congrats on, like, you know, the podcast network just kind of being extended. I know Hyung's got his own pod that he's been doing, and he's bringing in some, like, you know, actual MLB players. And so congrats on that. But I wanted to say congrats on 200 episodes.
Oh, thank you.
I was so proud when I heard that episode and saw you guys celebrating 200. And I got to say, for those 200 episodes, most of those times I listen to you guys on my commute or when I'm going from client to client. And so you guys kept me super entertained. And it felt like, you know, I was just talking with friends and listening to friends just, you know, talk about things that I care about. And I think that's the strength of your guys' show. Like, you guys make it feel like we're all friends and we're all just kind of part of the conversation. We're all listening and just enjoying and laughing and regretting a lot of card purchases and all that. So, yeah. Just wanted to say congrats to all that and to 200 and 2,000 more episodes.
Appreciate that, Will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, Will, you've been part of the 200. You know, if you look at some of the positive comments, the ratings in Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Will's name comes up like a few times, like Will's actual name. No one mentions, you know, my name or John or Young. They're like, yeah, the podcast is great. But no, there's like two or three comments that are like, you need to bring Will back on.
You know why? Like, it's because like I'm the everyman. Because, you know, okay. First and foremost, I'm just a fan. Right, like it's like you did a Topps Big League, like become a big leaguer, like become a podcaster. That's kind of what it is, right? I get to just come on every once in a while, pretend that I'm a part of the crew, or I am part of the crew. But you welcome me and you make me feel good, and
you're great,
all that stuff. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I do appreciate it. But yeah, congrats! Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, and you'll definitely be back for sure.
Of course, Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always say that $50 mic that we sent to Will, best investment for this podcast. That's all it took, $50 and free labor there. So always appreciate you, Will. Of course, we appreciate all the listeners out there. And it's another long episode, but I expect nothing less when John and Will are both on the pod, you know, because it's, you know, we average about an hour, 15, hour, 20 each time you guys are on. But I love it. I said it off the air. I'm like, that's what makes these podcast episodes with you guys on so funny and entertaining. So, yeah, we'll wrap up here and we'll have a brand new episode for you guys next week. See you then. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at 5CardGuys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU at Recess. You can also check us out at 5CardGuys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.